Okay, this is week one, class three, TH-304, the wisdom of God. Okay, let's pick back up with wisdom being our counselor, so to speak. Counsel is mine. Operating in wisdom can replace all need for therapy and psychotropic drugs. Now, this is not in reference to those who have specific chemical imbalances in the brain. But I mean, even God, you know, that can be healed. But this, we're talking about, you know, the people that just say, Christians now, that just say, oh, I can't take it anymore. And so they go and they find somebody that will give them Prozac and lithium and all this other stuff. And, this is a touchy thing because there are a lot of folks out there, Christians, who are on these kinds of drugs. And I don't know, you may be here tonight taking some of those drugs. But I want to point you back here to the Word of God. Wisdom says, counsel is mine. This is what wisdom says. So therefore, I can tell you that when it comes to receiving the kind of counsel that you need to avoid any and all kind of therapy, wisdom can do it for you, operating in the wisdom of God. Receiving the wisdom of God. It can do it for you. One of the saddest things that I have found in the body of Christ are Christians that adamantly defend their use of psychotropic drugs. I cannot find any scriptural substantiation for that kind of a thing to take place. And I realize that there are a lot of believers that would be very adamantly, or they would adamantly take issue with me over this. But again, I go back to the Word of God. What does God's Word say? Well, this verse alone, counsel is mine. But Brother Martin, you don't understand my circumstances. No, I don't. But wisdom does. Wisdom knows how to counsel you in these circumstances. Wisdom says, I can give you the answers. Well, what it really comes down to is there are a lot of people, they don't want to take the time to receive wisdom from God. I don't want to sound harsh, but there are a lot of Christians that are living in a continual pity party, and they just want somebody to pat them on the back and to listen to them. And quite frankly, that kind of a thing is a type of manipulation and attempts to control other people. I'm telling you now, there are Christians out there that will live in their own self-contrived misery. Say, no, no, Brother Martin, it can't be self-contrived because the situation is real. The situation is real, but the misery is self-contrived because it didn't come from God. You have to create a mental condition, a nest, for that misery to exist in your life. Otherwise, as a believer now, otherwise, that misery will not be there. Yes, I know Jesus sweat drops of blood. He was on his way to the cross to bear the sins of humanity. He had an excuse, okay? He bore drops of blood. I mean, he did all that. So we can be without misery. You see what I'm saying? Wisdom makes it possible. You know, I guess it really depends on how bad you want out of your mess. Or how much you don't want to control other people's lives. And that sounds like a mean thing, but if you get around Christians like this, and if you don't watch out, they'll start making you feel like the dog of the earth. Because you aren't listening to them. Well, you know what? Wisdom, they're not listening to wisdom. Wisdom says, counsel is mine. Counsel is mine. So, if we go to a Christian counselor who is not pointing people to Proverbs 8:14, then that Christian counselor is not doing their job. Now, other things involved, okay, but relative to this course and this particular verse right now. That Christian counselor is not doing their job, because that Christian counselor can only offer what they have received from wisdom, if it's going to be right. You know what I'm saying? Now, there is a lot of counsel that can be done in the world standard and so on and so forth. We're not talking about that. We are talking about operating as a believer the way that we can operate. God is telling us in His Word, wisdom declares, counsel is mine. And there comes a point in time to where, honestly, every Christian who's going through the perpetual mully grubs and just really, you know, you've heard the term, you know, draining the life out of people, they need to be told straight up, you're like this because you're choosing to be like this. I am not. You don't understand. Wait a minute. No, wait. What's the Word say? You know, you say you need help. Wisdom says counsel is mine. It's right there. Why are you taking these drugs? So I can make sense out of life. Wisdom says counsel is mine. Why are you, you know, continually going to the therapist? Because I need help. Wisdom says counsel is mine. See, when we come to the place of acknowledging the fact that God really does know everything and that we don't have any excuses, then we don't have any excuses. Wisdom says counsel is mine. And please think with me just for a moment. And again, we're not talking about people that have the chemical imbalances, you know, the physical something. We're talking about the mental issues, okay? Can you come up with any more of an oxymoron than a Christian having to go to a psychiatrist? Now think about it. If you're a Christian, you've got the life of God on the inside of you. So why do you need a psychiatrist? Why do you need a psychologist? Why? How in the world, if you're living according to the life that God has given you, how in the world can you need somebody to give you that kind of therapy? Now, again, I understand. We all go through times. Bad stuff happens, and it can cloud your judgment. And it feels good to sit down and talk with people. All of us in here, it feels good to sit down and talk with people. And we're not making reference to that tonight. We're making reference to the believers who continually, year in, year out, continually are going after, really, it's the world's way of dealing with the problems, seeking psychiatric, psychological help. And quite frankly, if therapy is done correctly, it doesn't take much more than two or three sessions. That's if the person really wants help. And that's the key. If the person's truly seeking help, then all it takes is about 3 1-hour sessions, 3 45-minute sessions at the most, to sit down and walk them through the Word and show them these things and give them some instructions on how to apply, and off they go. And they'll be changed. Things will be all right. Doesn't mean all the circumstances will instantly change, but what's going on the inside, that will change. It will. Their lives will reflect the difference. Wisdom says, counsel is mine. Wisdom also says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Now, there's a difference between wisdom and sound wisdom. Remember, we're talking, you know, English words here. Sound wisdom is a phrase that comes from a Hebrew word that means help, aid, support, salvation. It's a word that's sometimes used in Hebrew poetry. I don't know if it is anymore today, but in those days it was. That means to lift up. Now let me give you some examples. Leaving your place here in Proverbs, turn over to Psalm chapter 46. Going to use a couple of verses, two or three verses here to try and exemplify this. In Psalm verse 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is our refuge and strength. All right, again, the meaning of this Hebrew word for sound wisdom, help, aid, support, salvation. and to lift up. So God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now see, this fits right in with that counsel is mine. All right, well, you just don't understand. But wait a minute. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. God is your refuge. He is your strength. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Look over in Isaiah, Isaiah 59. And verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. This is another example of what this verse is declaring. The Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Wisdom says, all right, here's, remember, and I don't think I have this one written down. Remember and I'll have to quote from the song because I don't remember the exact words in the verse. For Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. I think in the verse it says, and the lifter up of mine head, or something like that in Scripture. It's what? This, where it says wisdom, sound wisdom, the lifter up of, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter of my head. The lifter of my head, okay, imagery, okay? Imagery. If you're walking with your head down, can you see what's coming?
No.
No. Thou, O Lord, art a strength for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. God lifts you up to be able to see what's going on. Or another way to put it, to see it from His perspective. Wisdom says, counsel is mine, sound wisdom, or I will lift your head up so that you can see this for what it really is. Look over in James chapter 4. And verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Now again, this is another verse that creates imagery of what sound wisdom means. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. You understand that it sometimes takes humbling to receive instruction from other people or to receive correction from other people. Now let me just share with you here, you know, from my perspective as a pastor, I do not isolate myself from input from other people. But I do not act on input from other people unless the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with me. I know that I do not know it all. And I know that I do not have insight to everything. Meaning, in my mind, I do not have that kind of insight. I know that God does. However, I also know that my mind is not glorified. And I am still growing spiritually and understanding how to hear the voice of God, how to hear the voice of wisdom. So, this is why God has given to us the multitude of counselors, those who will operate in the same kind of wisdom. See, I don't want to just talk to anybody and receive input from them, because some people, they're just going to give me a bunch of goofy stuff. And I don't mean disrespect, but some, you can only give out of what you've received. And if you don't know how to tap into wisdom, God's wisdom now, if you don't know how to tap into that, then you don't have that reservoir to draw from. So you have to give what you have. Now, sometimes common sense is a good thing and is a right thing to do. But when you talk about the things of God, if you, you know, it's sad to say, but there are a lot of pastors that just don't know how to tap into the wisdom of God. It's not that they can't. They just don't know how to. You know what's even more sad, maybe? Is that it's been my personal experience. From what I've been able to gather, talking with people, and pastors specifically, most of these denominational schools don't teach their students how to tap into the wisdom of God. You know, I remember, I know of a denomination that as it's bringing the young ministers, well, young's relative, news better, because it doesn't matter what your age is. When you start off and they begin taking you through their training program, one of the books that they give you, I forget the exact title, but it's something like this: How to Preach a Pentecostal Sermon. And, you know, bless their hearts, they're trying. But what they're doing is, through that book, is they're actually replacing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And through a book, they're trying to tell you how to preach. I read the book, I mean, but, and I don't, I mean, it doesn't tell you to go, huh, after every few words, okay? But, and I can appreciate what the book had in it. I mean, it wasn't that it had bad information, but you know, if you're telling people how to have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, you don't really need too many books like that. By the same token, when it comes to this whole concept of sound wisdom, He gives you the aid, the help, the support. He gives to you what you need to be able to operate in this area of sound wisdom. He lifts your head up. He gives you this strength. Wisdom says, I'll do this for you. I am wisdom, I'll give you sound wisdom. Now, you've heard the term, I know, sound advice. Okay? Well, in human terms, you know, correlate this term, sound wisdom, with that. I'm wisdom, I'll give you sound wisdom. Or in other words, it'll be good stuff. Relative to what? Relative to me. Sound wisdom, or wisdom is speaking, relative to me. Not relative to you. Relative to me. It will be sound wisdom relative to me. To you, it may be stupidity. But to me, it is sound wisdom. It is the thing that's going to cause you to see this from my perspective. I will lift you up. And I will show you what I see about this whole thing. You're going to understand it from my perspective. Then when you relate to the people around you, they may laugh. I won't laugh. And you'll have my peace. Because you've allowed me to give to you what I know. And I can't fail. That's awesome. Wisdom can't fail. God's wisdom cannot fail. He goes on here. And he says, understanding. And this comes from a Hebrew word that means insight, understanding. Now, in the context of this passage, it's relative to the things of God. Wisdom gives us a deeper understanding of everything pertaining to God, including understanding of His Word. And so in this verse, go ahead and turn back to Proverbs. In this verse, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom, I am understanding. I am understanding. Now, it's one thing to have the ingredients of a cake, but it's another thing to understand how to put those ingredients together and bake a cake. Amen? I can remember when I was growing up, a buddy of mine, he used to make models. I don't know if I told you the story or not, but it fits. He used to, you know, models, you go to the store and you buy those old plastic models. They don't sell them like they used to in stores, but, and you could buy models, you know, of cars and all kinds of, when I was a kid, for some reason, I wanted models of Frankenstein and Dracula and Wolfman and stuff. Go figure. I don't know. I remember I had one of Frankenstein that would glow in the dark. Anyway, my buddy would build models of cars, you know, Corvettes or Chevys or whatever it would be. And he actually would enter model shows. And he was good. He was really, really good. And you say, well, what's there to be good? You just follow the instructions and put the model together. Well, that is easy for you to say. He could do it. For some reason, I was challenged in that area. And I just could not seem to get a model put together. And I would follow the instructions. And the thing would come out lopsided. And all. Boy, he could put it together. Oh, could he put it together. And not only did he put it together, but he would get paint. And he'd custom paint. He'd do his own paint jobs on the thing. And all they were, he had medals, he had ribbons and all kinds of stuff where he'd won prizes. Well, he was so good He didn't even look at the instructions. Now, I couldn't figure that out for anything. He would not even look. Or sometimes he might look at the pictures, but he never read the instructions. He just would put them together. And not only that, he'd get like two or three or four different models and take the pieces from the different models and make his own cars. He was really good at it. He had all the parts and the understanding. Me, I had the parts. That was it. I stopped with the parts. He would continue on and put them together. Wisdom says, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom, I am understanding. It's not just a matter that I will counsel you, and I will be your counselor, but I also will give you sound wisdom that will cause you to see it from my perspective. I'll lift you up above it, whatever it is, and I'll help you see this from my perspective, and I'll give you the understanding that I have when it comes to dealing with what you're seeing and being able to put all the parts together. And you ever heard somebody say, I just feel like my life is in pieces? Okay? Wisdom says, no problem. I am counsel, I am sound wisdom, and I am understanding, so you can put those parts together. Put all the pieces where they belong. I will give you the understanding. You ever heard of some people that it's like they're really intelligent, but they have no common sense whatsoever? Wisdom can correct that. Trust me. God's wisdom can correct that. Now, please do not misunderstand and think that I am implying that all Christians become Einsteins. I'm not. This is all relative to each one of us, where we are in our walk with God according to the plan that He has for us. As we go deeper into His plan and we're tapping into wisdom, oh, by the way, this course, when it comes to you fulfilling whatever God has called you to fulfill, I really encourage you to pay attention to this course. Without it, it ain't happening. You cannot fulfill God's plan without God's wisdom. It's not going to happen. That's why this course, one of the reasons that this course is so extremely vital. We have to learn how to tap into God's wisdom and operate that way. And again, as I said earlier, we've been so trained to not tap into God's wisdom that this almost doesn't... this kind of course may not make a whole lot of sense. It's like, well, all you need to do is, you know, sit around, talk to people, figure out how to get it done. No. If they're operating by the wisdom of God. And even then, if they are, you don't just take it and do it. You tap into wisdom to find out how to apply what they've shared. Hey, listen, I'm telling you now, you get people that are operating in the wisdom of God, and buddy, God will speak to you through them. And you'll get words from the Lord from them. It's amazing. I've been with people, and you know how we're kind of conditioned to, if somebody says, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, and they begin to speak, especially if they do the King James, you know, the Lord saith unto thee, then we know, oh, well, this is a word from the Lord. There have been times where I've been speaking to people, and I know it is God speaking through me to them. It is a word from the Lord. And I can tell by the look on their face and the expression in their eyes, they have no clue what's happening. Absolutely none. And every now and then this has happened, I mean, even in our church services, I'll start speaking, and it's God. He's prophesying. You know, prophecy is not just foretelling the future. It is declaring the mind and the will of God as well. And there will be times I'm prophesying in the service. It's not even the sermon time. And I'm prophesying. And I can tell some of the people haven't caught on. They don't know what's happening. And it's something that's coming directly from God to them. But because I'm not delivering it in King James, and I didn't say, thus saith the Lord God Almighty, they didn't catch it. Well, here with wisdom. Wisdom will speak through people who are operating by wisdom to you. But then you have to get from wisdom the understanding of what to do with what they said. And this is where a lot of people make mistakes. They'll hear from wisdom, but they don't apply the understanding, and they end up making a mistake. It's like, well, God, I thought you told me. I did. I did tell you. But you didn't let me impart unto you the understanding from my wisdom about the wisdom I had given you. It's not just a matter of receiving what God knows. It's a matter of understanding what to do with it once you get it. That's what understanding is going to do for you. He goes on and says, counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. I have strength. This word strength, it comes from a Hebrew word that means force, might, victory, power. Leaving your place here in Proverbs, turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. We'll use a couple of verses here to illustrate this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people, and I'm sure that, well, I know, all of us in here have come across Christians that their lives are absolutely not victorious. Now, this victory, you know, praise God, we have victory over sin, over Satan, and all this other. But this extends beyond that. This is talking about victory in every area of your life. When it comes to you doing what God has called you to do, and you set out to do it, you are to walk in victory. Meaning, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I guess that's one way to put it. Now, it says here, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's Jesus. He's completed His work. Victory is now released to us. However, tapping into God's wisdom and operating by wisdom is how we see these victories exercised in our lives. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of Christians, it's not like God's holding back. And, you know, I've been there before, where it almost seems like, you know, God, I know what the Bible says, but it sure doesn't, it's not happening in my life, and I don't understand this. Well, I now today understand that one of the reasons why these victories or a victorious lifestyle doesn't happen for many Christians the way it could happen is because they're not tapping into the wisdom of God. I mean, it just says back there, you know, I have strength. I have this victory. I have wisdom. I have this. I mean, if you're having a problem in this area, it is not a problem for me. I can show you how to live in the victory that your Savior has given to you. Let's look at another place here. Over in Romans chapter 8. And in verse 37 it says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, this ties right into the whole concept of victory. Wisdom enables us to live in victory and enables us to live as a conqueror. You know, we sing that song, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. You know what? For a lot of Christians, those are just words and it's not a lifestyle. You ever heard Christians say things like, I just don't understand it, man. The devil, he just runs roughshod over me. And here is wisdom in the background saying, but wait a minute. First off, the Bible says that victory has been given to you. I know it. Well, not only that, but you've been made more than a conqueror. I know it. Well, would you like to know how to live that way? Oh, I sure would. Here I am, wisdom. I can do it for you. I can teach you how. But you have to let me. Well, again, this goes back to the fact a lot of Christians don't understand the concept of the wisdom of God. Now think about it. How many times have we done our best to figure it out by ourselves? Well, you know, everything I've tried just doesn't work. Okay, well, then maybe it's time to consider trying something else. I would if I knew what to try. Okay. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 14 says, wisdom speaking, I have strength. Meaning, I can tell you how to apply whatever you need to apply to see the victory and to live more than a conqueror. Well, okay, then just give it to me. And that's a problem. If you don't know how to receive it, how? It'd be like telling somebody that Jesus can make it possible for them to go to heaven, telling them all about how, what it means to be born again and so on, and then never telling them how to get born again. You know what I'm saying? And just say, okay, now that you know, hope you figure it out. Goodbye. I said, wait, how do I get born again? Just like, remember on the day of Pentecost? And they said, men, brethren, how can we, what shall we do to be saved? And Peter says, I ain't telling you. Well, wisdom says, it's not a problem. I know how you became a victorious person. I know how you became more than a conqueror. I know how it's supposed to work in your life. It's not a problem for me. Sit down. Like it says at the very beginning of the up there in verse 6. Hear, and I will speak. You know, sit down and listen to me, and I'll tell you what to do, and I'll tell you how to get through this. Look in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20. Wisdom says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now where it says, I lead in the way of righteousness, think in the word lead. Have you anybody here ever had a dog and you walk your dog? You know, you do your best to lead your dog. I mean, granted, sometimes the dogs, they have their own ideas about things. But generally speaking, you know, you've got the leash on the dog and you're leading the dog, right? Now, if the dog tries to run off the sidewalk into the middle of the street, what do you do? You jerk that leash and say, get back over here. And the dog gets back on the sidewalk. As you continue walking, if the dog sees another dog in somebody's yard, decides to go pay a visit, you say, no, get back over here. What are you doing? You're leading that dog on the path of the sidewalk, the way that you know that dog should go. Now, that dog's so stupid, it would run out and get run over in the middle of the street, correct? And the dog is so stupid, like, you know, a poodle. Poodles are so stupid, they think they can beat pit bulls. They're dumb. They think they can take on a German shepherd. Poodles are stupid. It's just a thing. Every dog thinks it's the baddest dog in the world. And, you know, the big dogs, they get a real chuckle out of this because they know that the little chihuahua can't take. They know better, okay? You know, one gulp and this little thing is gone. You know what's good for that dog. Don't go pick a fight with a pit bull. And don't go out there and try to chew on the tires of a moving car. It doesn't work. And so you keep leading the dog in the way that's best for the dog. Wisdom says, I lead in the way of righteousness. Okay? Now, remember, you've been made the righteousness of God. So another way to think of this is, I, wisdom, will lead you in accordance to who you've become in Christ. I will lead you on the path of your salvation, of your new nature. I will lead you down the path of everything that you are in Jesus Christ. I will lead in the way of righteousness. And he goes on to say, in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now, this is really interesting because the end result of being led in the way of righteousness means that your life will become a reflection of who you've become in Christ. Another way to think of it is, you're not going to have to try so hard to be a good person. You know, I can remember when I was a kid, and I, you know, don't know what it was, but I just had this kind of like feisty side to me. And every now and then I would get in trouble in school, and I couldn't help it. It was me. And I don't know. There was also something about me. They told me there was something about the way I smiled that made it hard for them to punish me. All right? Thank God. But anyway, I remember so clearly, there would be mornings I would wake up and I would think, today I'm going to be good. And I really meant it. I honestly meant it. And I would go to school and there were just too many opportunities to have fun. You know what I'm saying? Wisdom. Well, if you let wisdom lead you, wisdom will lead you down the path of who you've become in Christ, so that the righteousness you are becomes the lifestyle you live. Wisdom will lead you that way. And when it talks about in the midst of the paths of judgment, another way to say that it says, wisdom is going to teach you how to discern the difference between what is and is not of God. How does it do that? Because this wisdom comes from God. It can only show you the things that are relative to God. It can't teach you anything else. It can't show you anything else. And when it comes to, we've already talked about, you know, decisions and you know, things like that to a certain point. So, if you're faced with something that says, gosh, you know what? It doesn't seem to make a difference what I choose here. They both seem to be of God. Well, you know, the Bible talks about how that Satan and his devils, disguising, masquerading, appearing as angels of light. What for? To deceive you. Get you confused. And there can be times in your life to where things can be so of God, but they really aren't. You know, it's just like I've had so many requests to minister in other countries as a result of the Bible college. And listen, guys, I'm telling you, it sure sounds of God. I mean, the opportunities to go and do that. Because these people, they need help. They need teaching. They need ministry. But if I don't operate in wisdom and the judgment that wisdom produces, man, I'd be gallivanting all over the place. I'd be scheduling all kinds of meetings to go. And I can't do that. Not until wisdom, not until through the judgment that wisdom produces helps me to understand which really is of God and which is not of God. And quite honestly, I'm perfectly content to stay right here and never go anywhere. But the moment that wisdom's judgment shows me, now this is where you need to go. And you should go to this place down here. Then I go. Then I'll take off and go do the teaching or whatever is necessary. But wisdom, when you tap into wisdom, you are going to be able to discern the difference between what is of God and what is good. You'll know the difference, and you'll be able to make your decisions accordingly. And when you make those kinds of decisions, you're going to be walking smack dab in the midst of the will of God. You won't be outside the will of God. Now, later in this course, we are going to talk about how we tap into wisdom, how we appropriate wisdom, how we access wisdom, and what it's going to take for us to receive this wisdom. Maybe another way to put it would be, how to open up our spiritual mind, so to speak, to receive a flow of this wisdom. And it's in Scripture. We're going to see it very clearly. And we're really, what we're doing is we're laying a foundation now for this. And I once again, tonight, in closing, I just want to emphasize to you how very important this is. Because when you tap into God's wisdom, and we're going to see more next week, when you tap into God's wisdom, it is going to have an effect on every single area of your life, even your physical health. It's going to have an impact on everything that pertains to you, because it's God releasing, say, His mind to you so that you can fulfill everything that He would fulfill if He were down here in His own body. This is absolutely critical for every single one of us. Praise God. But Father, Your word has gone forth. And I just ask that you continue to impress upon all of us, myself included, the value of your wisdom and what it really means. And Father, help us to get away from all the different things we've thought about wisdom or what we've been taught about wisdom from man's perspective. Because really, Father, this word wisdom has been so misused that it can cause us to not grasp the fullness of what you want to get across to us in your word. Now, we love you so much, Father. And again, we thank you for our salvation and we thank you for wisdom, Father. We honestly praise you and bless you and just give you the glory, Father, as much as we know how to do it. And so as we leave here tonight, we just ask for and by faith receive your divine protection. We love you and we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We'll see you next time.